Welcome to Gay Ambitions with your host, Paul Collington, featuring inspiring entrepreneurs and advocates sharing success stories and actionable career advice, bringing out the best in the business and the LGBT community.
Welcome to Gay Ambitions, where we bring out the best in business.
Happy 2015, and we've had a little bit of a hiatus from the show, but we're excited to be back in the game.
Today, I'm excited to be on Skype with Ronnie Tenenbaum. He's a wedding and engagement jewelry designer who's been designing specifically for the LGBT community without the use of stereotypical rainbows and triangles for the past 25 years. His presence is growing, being featured in many news outlets, and his collections are now featured in independent boutiques as well as premier jewelry chains. Ronnie, thank you so much for taking the time to interview with me.
Good morning, Paul, and thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's quite early, about 10 a.m. in Denver and 8 a.m. in Denver and 10 a.m. New York City time. It is early for me.
It is early for you, obviously. It's 10 o'clock here.
Yes. So I gave listeners a little bit of an overview of what you do, but if you could kind of dig in a little bit and give us a background of your business and what led you to this point.
Sure. Well, I do call myself a jewelry designer, and I've been in the industry for over 25 years. I really started from scratch, working my way up in companies, other people's companies, from data entry to learning how to polish and set and slowly work my way into design work. I've done some marketing in the jewelry industry as well, so I've kind of accumulated a vast wealth of knowledge in all sorts of fields in the jewelry industry. And several years back, I kind of felt that with all this knowledge and wealth of information, I could definitely do more than just sit behind the scenes and work for other people. And that kind of what brought me to my business. I kind of decided if I go out on my own and develop a brand of jewelry that actually caters and talks to a niche that is important to me and that really hasn't been catered to at the time, that there's something there that I can really grasp onto. And that's kind of how I got to today.
Totally. Was there a certain moment in that point of time when you realized you wanted to branch out on your own that really became that turning point where you realized that you wanted to do it and you were ready to do it and you were confident to do it?
Yeah, you know, I do believe that, yeah, there was that aha moment where I realized I was kind of treading water, doing the same thing over and over again for other companies, and there was really so much more that I wanted to do and accomplish. And I kind of figured that it was just the beginning of kind of a marriage equality movement. This is going back about 7 years, and the first state, if you recall, Massachusetts was 10 years ago, so it was really in its infancy, and I kind of really felt there was a great opportunity out there. I understood the jewelry market very well, and I kind of sensed that there's no one really else out there that understands jewelry but also understands what the LGBT community is going through. It was brand new, and I kind of realized this was just the beginning. So it was a really good kind of force that kind of brought everything together. With over 20 years at that point of experience, I kind of said, well, I really know jewelry very well, and I kind of know what I want to do. So boom, it kind of everything fit into place.
I love it, and it was perfect timing with what was happening in the culture and society, and yeah, there's really a need for it in the market, so it sounds like you chose the perfect time.
Mm-hmm.
And
exactly.
There's so much going on, right? We just had Utah, we just had Indiana. There's, like, so much momentum for gay marriage. That must only be good for business for you, right?
Well, definitely, it doesn't hurt business. The interesting thing is that I actually, in the beginning, I would be traveling the country and trying to encourage retailers to look at my line and consider what it is that I'm offering them. But today, the table's kind of shifted a little bit, and now I sit back and I get a lot of retailers from all over the country reaching out to me saying, hey, you know, now we understand this movement is moving forward, and it's moving forward in full force. The best thing for me is actually hearing from states that haven't passed laws yet, where jewelers know it's coming, and they want to reach out. They want to be the first. They want to tackle this new niche that is going to come their way. And I actually get wonderful phone calls from all over the country that I wouldn't even have expected previously.
That's so exciting, and congratulations on the growth of your business. That's awesome.
Thank you.
Will you, on the other end of the spectrum, could you take us back to a time you might have failed or had a big learning lesson when things didn't quite go your way?
You know, it's funny. I actually don't believe in failure in the sense that, to me, failure is kind of it's an opportunity to learn and to improve. I always believe if something I do doesn't come out right or doesn't work the way I want it, I kind of take a few steps back and study what it was that I didn't like, and I kind of want to make it better in the future. So I love learning from my mistakes. I don't really look at them as failures.
Okay. Is there any lessons that you might have learned recently that either through the jewelry business or maybe any other ventures that you're working on? Like, what is something that that might not have gone your way in the beginning, but you took that into a learning lesson and turned it into a success?
Well, you know, it's interesting that this niche market, you know, the LGBT community is not one that is that easy to penetrate into the mainstream. And there have been incidences, and there are many situations where there are retailers that may not find this a match or a fit for them.
Right.
And I always find that education is the key, and maybe I've been told thank you but no by a retailer here or there. Actually going back to them after several months and opening the door again and saying, listen, I'd like to reapproach this, and maybe from things that I've learned over the past months, maybe from laws that have suddenly taken effect in their environment, and suddenly they're open to listening again. And I find that that's really important. I think that the educating of tolerance, of diversity, and constantly going back and kind of, you know, not pounding it onto them, but actually just being consistent, being patient, and educating them actually does open doors.
Yeah, and persistency too, not giving up. I love it.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Ronnie, what is one of your proudest moments?
One of my proudest moments, I had just opened a store in Soho, a Ronnie Tenenbaum flagship store, about 5 years back. And the first couple that actually had traveled over 2 hours away just to come to my store by name. They knew who I was. They literally, it was a destination for them. And it was such an honor and such a proud moment for me that someone had heard of me, someone had known what I did, and they sought me out. They looked for me, and I felt so, so proud.
Oh, yeah, that must be rewarding, too, when you get to see people happy wearing your jewelry. Like, there must be no other feeling like that.
You know, I've been saying this for many years, that is one of my main goals is in a way, it's my way of being a part of someone's very personal, very intimate moment in their life when they're exchanging vows or they're exchanging their rings or whatever it is. And to be a part of that, to share in their joyous moments, is such a great honor. And it always amazes me. It always flatters me and makes me just so, so excited. So, yeah, I'm always very proud of that.
Absolutely. And we talked a little bit earlier about you taking the plunge into entrepreneurship. And I'm wondering if there's anything that you know now that maybe you wish you would have known when getting started, anything from operations to marketing to sales. Like, what is one thing you wish you knew beforehand?
Honestly, flexibility. I am much more a flexible person in terms of opening my mind to what people have to say, to other people's opinions. I may have not been as flexible in the past as I've learned to be, and I think that that's a very, very key element in being an entrepreneur is learning from other people, listening to what they have to say. I design collections that I find very beautiful and very attractive to my eye. It was only when I started hearing from people that came to me and said, you know, this is beautiful, but can you make it this way? Or can we just change that? Or can we just move this around? And suddenly I realized in the very beginning, I would probably have said, no, this is the way I see it. This is the way it should be. But I've learned over the years that actually that flexibility allows me to open my mind as well and open my creativity as well. So that was a very, very important curve that I learned.
Yeah, that sounds like something that needs to be taken into consideration. Definitely the needs of the customer and adapting to change.
Sure, when dealing with the public, when dealing with people outside of yourself, then definitely, yeah, being more flexible is definitely important.
Totally. So you're marketing a lot of your products and services to the LGBT community, so it obviously fits in your role as an out person. But I'm wondering if at any other point in your career, how has being an out person either held you back or propelled you forward in your journey?
Well, I don't think it has ever held me back. I'm very, very out and very proud to be out, and I think that that's a very key element. I think my business, since it's based on product specially adapted for the LGBT community, my being gay made a huge impact on my journey. It was definitely something positive. I believe that being gay is what really drove more same-sex couples to open up with me with their questions, their concerns, their stories, their unique family situations, and so on. So I really think that listening to them and trying to pass along their experiences to new couples that would come to me, really it helped that I was gay. It really was a good part of my whole evolution. I think also the designing of the jewelry also helped tremendously. When I started out, and I always tell the story, when I started out 7 years ago and you would Google the words gay and Google the words jewelry, all you got were really jewelry that was rainbows and triangles and symbolic and very gaudy and very clubby jewelry. And I always used to say, and this was no offense to anyone, but I always used to say I felt that that was kind of, it looked always to me like what a straight person thinks a gay person wants to wear.
Yeah, like at Pride or something.
At what? I'm sorry?
Oh, I said like at a gay Pride parade almost, like bling.
Right, right. I always felt that that was really, it was what somebody from outside the community was thinking, oh yeah, that's what all gay people want to wear, gay and lesbian, of course. And I really felt that none of my friends that I knew at the time, that's really what they would ever wear, especially something so personal and classy as a engagement ring or a wedding ring. So I kind of felt that being a part of the community really has helped me tremendously. It's insight that really helps, whether it's in fashion, whether it's what the community is looking for. Over the years, I've dealt with so many same-sex couples that have come to me, and their requests are really different than what has been out in the stores. Mm. So I don't remember the last lesbian couple that has come to me and wanted, you know, those high-head Tiffany-style engagement rings. They want things that are more durable, that are more wear and tear easier on them, and I've designed according to what couples have actually been asking me and talking to me about.
That's exciting, and I want to come to, next time I come to New York, I want to stop by your flagship store, as you mentioned. That would be really cool.
Awesome, you do that.
Do you have a favorite success quote? Lately, I've gotten anything from Maya Angelou to Steve Jobs to even unknown quote. Do you have anything that you really attach yourself to that you try to live your life by?
Yes. One of my favorite quotes is a Warren Buffett quote.
Ooh.
Warren Buffett once said, "Someone is sitting in the shade today because someone planted a tree a long time ago."
Ah.
And I love that. I love the idea that people reap the rewards from seeds that are planted from a long time ago. You know, I believe so strongly that someone has to plant a seed or an idea in people's minds in order for it to sprout healthy thinking in the future.
Yeah. So do you attribute that to somebody else having positive thinking ahead of you that rubbed off on you, or how do you apply that to your own life?
I find that I love educating. I love going out. You know, today part of what I do is you know, the jewelry is wonderful. I design jewelry, and I talk to same-sex couples all the time. I talk to also retailers. But my passion and what I do beyond that is also I go out to the community, and I talk and lecture to the same-sex community. And the reason for that is I've discovered over the years that I've been doing this is that since this whole niche is brand new to us, we really are on the brink of developing these brand new traditions and etiquettes that really haven't been dealt with in the past.
Mm.
So just because we've been given rights to marry, there's no manual that came with it. Okay, well, then now a same-sex couple wants to get married. Now what? And I'm looking at it from my perspective as a jeweler. I've had people come to me, well, we don't know. Do we now get engaged? Do we propose to one another? Do we each wear a diamond engagement ring and then a wedding band? And the questions go on. And I realize that there are a lot of social implications beyond just getting a certificate that allows them to marry. So I actually go out, and I've been getting quite a lot of these questions, and they're repeat questions from couples that come to me. So what I do is I actually go out to the community, specifically communities that I open stores in or that have some sort of contact with my product. And I educate the community. I'll go to community centers and ask for evenings, and I call them Ronnie Talks. And these Ronnie Talks are really, they're developed in order to explain the new etiquettes of the rainbow, as I call it. And it's fascinating to see how some people's questions turn into other people's answers. It just amazes me always that if I bring to the table something that I heard from someplace else, other people are learning from this. And that's really important to me. And that, to me, I love that.
Totally. Are there any new surprising trends or etiquettes that you've seen developing that you could share with us, maybe that you talk about in your Ronnie Talks?
Absolutely. The most important one that I think is very, very relevant is the whole engagement process. You know, if you think back, my partner and I are together 21 years. 21 years ago, where there were no marriage laws available, and no one really was talking about, well, then let's get engaged, because the marriage wasn't a part of it.
Right.
Today, as marriage is growing in the United States for same-sex couples, you're also opening a brand new tradition of getting engaged. I'm seeing more and more couples considering it, talking about it, looking for engagement rings. And that's beyond, I mean, the talks really talk about how-tos and what are people doing, how are they proposing and whatnot. But I definitely encourage and endorse the whole process of engagement. I think it's a rite of passage in any relationship. Why shouldn't a couple think about engagement just like any other couple did for centuries before? So it's just an interesting new trend and a new tradition that we are developing as a community.
Absolutely. That's important. And what is your best piece of advice for someone who's starting a new idea or a business?
I believe in sticking to it. I think, you know, ideas are wonderful and people have them all the time. Stick to it. A good idea and a solid foundation of the knowledge about what you're doing will always be a success. sure, it's worthwhile having a niche, you know, that few people have tapped into, and of course, a market for your offering. But becoming knowledgeable in everything in your field is key. Becoming an expert in what you do, and again, just sticking with it.
Yeah. And you talked about a niche market. Do you have any tips for breaking into a niche market? Obviously, the LGBT community is really diverse. Even within the LGBT community, there's the L, there's the G, there's the B, there's the T, and there's so many different factors within that. But how do you start marketing to a niche market?
Well, I do believe that knowledge is power. You do need to know about the niche to begin with, but educating yourself as much as possible, even more so. You know, you talk about different aspects of the niche of the LGBT community. I can even add to that, you know, we don't even think about it, but as the niche is allowed these marriage rights, you know, I look at and again, I'm talking from my perspective as a jeweler, as what I'm seeing couples coming to me, I'm realizing, you know, a couple that is in their 20s and are growing up in today's world where marriage equality is allowed in their state, to them it's a norm. It's just they're growing up with that tradition. If they're in their 20s, they want to get married, that's great. Everything goes according to plan. But then there's another niche, like me and my partner, who are 20 years together, and we consider ourselves married for all intents and purposes. So now what do we do? Do we go back to phase one and get engaged, or do we exchange rings since we've already had our rings for 20 years? So there are many, many different factors within a niche. I definitely strongly believe that learning all the different aspects of the niche is really important.
You got to find the niche of the niche, right?
Exactly. Yeah, absolutely. Understanding everything about the niche is really important, and not just that, the sub-niche, the subcultures, and what's going on. I do think that niche marketing is the most important thing about niche marketing is understanding everything about it, every single aspect of it, not leaving any of it out.
Absolutely. Ronnie, is there any advice that you've received personally that has really resonated with you that you could share with others?
You know, a boss of mine many, many years ago once gave a speech to a group of us, and he said, "You're only as strong as your weakest link." And I've always strived to push myself not to be that weakest link, but also to help others on my team, teach them to do the best that they can do in order not to be the weakest link. So I just find that, you know, working together and striving for excellence is probably, you know, the best thing that I have ever heard from someone else.
Totally. And another thing we like to explore is different habits that people have that help contribute to their success, whether it be drinking coffee in the morning or getting up early or, you know, getting a full 8 hours of sleep. What do you think it is that you do that contributes to your own success?
I hate to say this, but I totally believe that being a perfectionist has brought me to where I am today. And it's not always the greatest thing, because I will redo things over and over and over and over 10, 12, 14 times before I get it right. But I do not release anything. I do not show anything. I am 100% satisfied with it. And I think that, yeah, my being a perfectionist has really contributed tremendously to where I am today.
That's a lot of pressure to put on yourself. You have to be 100% satisfied, not even like 95.
No, and you know, I've had actually people in the past that I've worked with that believed, you know, I am seeking to produce something, but if it doesn't come out that way, it's okay. Just learn to live with it. And I could never take that on myself. I can't live with something if I'm not really 100%. Satisfied with it. Now, that's not to say that I don't change my opinions down the road and maybe decide to even improve on things that I've already made. But once I've made them and I've released them, at least at that point in time, I am 100% satisfied with that, yeah.
Well, that's awesome. I love that. In today's world where we have internet resources, we have mobile apps, we have websites and social media, is there anything that you use in your day-to-day to help make you more productive?
A few. Obviously, I Google everything. Everything. I'm always interested and always fascinated to learn about something or educate myself about something or other, and Google obviously always gets me to where I want to go. I do love reading in Wikipedia a lot, so Wikipedia is a great wealth of information. Mm. And I love using Dictionary. I love using dictionary.com. I love the thesaurus function, and I love the translator function. I use them all in my research on things.
Awesome.
I do use the internet quite a bit.
Nice. Yeah, there's so much out there that we like to collect what people use so we can kind of compile it together, because it's just something new every day.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you have any books that you've read recently or picked up that you have found particularly interesting or valuable, either fiction or nonfiction, whatever it may be?
Maybe not as recent as the last year or two, but one of my favorite books of all times has been Watership Down. Hmm. And I always love, even though it's a magnificent book by Richard Adams, and it may be about rabbits, but I love the portrayal of life and how a community striving to live life freely and equally as individuals conquers, you know, tyranny and oppressive life.
Interesting. I've not read that one, but I'll have to check it out and link it.
Watership Down is worth it, yeah.
Yeah, link it back onto the blog once we go live. On the opposite side of your being a perfectionist and having productive habits, are there any advices that you have that you can't live without?
Vices?
Yeah.
Well, unlike being a perfectionist, one of my vices, I love ice cream.
Oh, nice. Do you have a favorite flavor or place to get it?
Yeah, it always has to be vanilla, and the reason for vanilla is because you can absolutely top vanilla with anything and make it something else.
That's true. With your topping, all that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, and I can eat ice cream winter, spring, summer, fall, all season long. I love ice cream.
Nice. And finally, where can people find you online, whether they want to follow social media or go to your website? Where's the best place to start?
Sure. My website is Ronnie Tenenbaum. That's spelled RonnieTenenbaum.com. That's my website. And on the website, there is a store locator, so they can also locate stores in their area. The website provides a lot of the collections that I sell. And if they have a specific area that a store is located in, they can reach out to the stores in that particular region. I'm also on Facebook.
Okay.
I have a Ronnie Tenenbaum Facebook page and Twitter.
Nice. Yeah, well, we'll definitely make sure to get all that linked up on the blog. And Ronnie, thank you so much for taking the time to come on the show. I know, you know, we're finally able to connect, and it's been a pleasure.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you having me, and look forward to hearing the interview.